previewing Notre Dame, coronavirus strikes again. We preview Wake and loyal questions from our loyal listeners on the VIP forum. Welcome to a happy new year, Jay Willie Show. I'm your host, Mark Jerome, alongside DJ YB and, of course, Jason Williford. YB, we missed you last week.
I know. Holiday complications, that's all I'll say.
It wasn't the same. I thought it was a good show, but, you know, that element that you bring and that dynamic you bring is just was missing last week. But I hope you had a good break.
Hey, I missed it,
though. Yeah. Hey, happy new year, fellas.
And happy new year, everybody.
I got to give YB his props. We had a BBS on the road for those alumni of UVA who know what the BBS is all about. Right. YB did a little New Year's DJ version of BBS on the road, he and three other DJs. So they brought the new year in right. 2021 is going to get off to it'll be a good year. Trust me.
That's right.
We're all hoping so. And don't forget, we can catch DJ YB every Wednesday night on Twitch TV. DJ YB, you want to give a little shout out? Let us know where you're.
Yep. Wednesday, 7 p.m., twitch.tv/DJYB. There it is. WHYBE is how that's spelled.
What's on the show tomorrow night?
I'm not sure, man. Putting it together now as we speak, but it'll just be one of those where it's a little musical gumbo, as I like to say.
I like that. Yeah. All right, DJYB, you going to hang out for a little bit? If you do,
indeed.
Feel free. And if not, make sure, please, come back and join us at the end.
Yes, sir. Gotcha.
Love kicking the show off or ending the show with a little DJYB, Jay Willie music.
All right.
Appreciate that. Jay Wills, happy new year.
Same to you.
Thank you. Let's talk Notre Dame real quick. A couple of questions. I don't want to spend too much time because it was almost a week ago. Last week, you mentioned that Casey was going to have a big game. I feel like you knew he was going to start and he was going to play a lot of minutes no matter what.
I mean, Mark, I'm privy to some information. But no, he'd been practicing well. And quite honestly, we've been searching. You know, there've been several different starting rotations, starting lineups. And we thought we needed a really good defensive start to games. And that's one of his strengths. So I knew from a defensive standpoint, we'd get off to a pretty good start. I thought he did a good job. Honestly, I thought he and Kihei both did a good job guarding the ball against Prentice Hub and Cormac Ryan and even the kid, Trey Wirtz, before he turned his ankle.
I thought he did a great job. And not only on the ball, it seems like he's coming along now off the ball. He had a good steal of playing off-ball defense. It was critical at a point where, I guess it was still the first, no, it was the second half.
Yeah.
And he stepped in the lane.
We've been working, Mark. We got to get better defensively. So it's good to see that, you know, some of that stuff carries over come game time. So I think they all need to continue to improve on that side of the floor. But it was good to see that.
He didn't shoot it particularly well. I think he was about 2 for 9, I want to say, but he still looked good shooting. Right? I think he only took one ill-advised shot that was quick in the shot clock.
Yeah, I thought most of his shots were good. I thought he got a little tentative late, and he didn't take them with the same confidence. He stuck a corner three, and I was like, good, go shoot the next two just like that. And he was a little hesitant, but you know that's okay. You know he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
I love the shots he took, and I think he had a couple that were in and out. He had a great move into the paint, a shot fake, and then a turnaround that was just in and out. He had another one, I think, that was in and out. His jump shots just looked all in the flow. And defensively, of course, he did great. Now, whose decision and whose idea is it to decide that you guys are going to post up this smallest dude on your team?
Well, you know, listen. I saw and heard some of the flack that my man, Mr. Clark, was catching. And like I said, it, that kid is not our issue. And he did it again against Notre Dame. He came back and he played. And quite honestly, with Jay and Sam and Trey on the floor, they open up the paint. And it just allows him to attack from different areas of the floor and get into the paint. I don't know about always posting him up on 6'5" dudes, but it just so happened to work in that game. And he made a big shot. That was a big move. He turned the face and got an and one. That was a big, big bucket for us. So, it's part of the offense with the floor being spaced that allows him to touch the paint.
I love his confidence.
I call him little big man when he's down there. Like when we're doing, when we're in practice, I'm like, somebody got to stop the little big man because he thinks he's a big guy.
You know, it's every big man's dream, almost every, I don't want to speak for everybody, to play point guard and shoot threes. And there's a lot of small guards
that who dream of being able to post up. Cute jump hooks and sky hooks and show you that they got up and under post moves. Yeah.
Right. Right. He's proving it.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Who scouted Leshefsky?
Who scouted?
Yeah, I mean, like, he went off. He did his thing.
Yeah,
Did you expect that? I mean, did you expect him to be that good of a shooter?
He was always a good shooter. He was that way coming out of high school. And I just think in that system, the way Bray gives those guys just freedom offensively. I mean, they play with a freedom and a green light. He just has matured and developed his game, rightfully so. I mean, he's in his third year of college. That's what's supposed to happen. Right. But he's playing with a ton of confidence, and they're looking for him. They're getting him shots, and he's shooting it at a high clip. But he's always been able to shoot the basketball. But where he's gotten better, he's driving it. He's doing a little bit of everything.
Right. That position in particular seems to be a little bit of a problem for the defense.
Well, it's a little bit of a headache. Again, we lost two really good defenders that guarded those spots and Braxton and Mamadi, and Sam and Trey are trying to figure it out along with Justin.
So you said there was going to be a wrinkle on the offense in the offense last week, and they started out with this new offense that I'm not familiar with. And maybe I've seen it and just didn't pay attention to it.
It's not new. We've done this as long as I've been here.
Thanks for making me look good. well, it's my fault for not paying attention to it. What do you call that offense?
I can't give away all the secrets, Mark, but we just know that Justin Anderson ran it, Malcolm Brogdon, Toby, Gil. We've been running that offense for years. London, Joe Harris ran it. We've often sprinkled that in within our package.
Okay. So I'll find the name myself, and then I'll determine whether or not I'm going to share with the audience.
Ask your son. He'll tell you what it is.
I will.
I can text it to you. I'll text it to you. I can't give away my secrets. Listen, Mark, there are people that listen to my show purely for scouting purposes.
from opposing teams?
Correct.
Hmm.
I am hip now.
You think Wake is listening to us now?
They may be. They got a troll on the inside.
They may. I know two kids that play for Wake that play for the same AAU team Ty played for. We'll get into that later. I thought the offense created a ton of open shots, right?
Yeah, we needed that. And again, I think it's good to sprinkle in and be able to change up what you're doing when certain things aren't working and being able to have different things that we can go to. So that particular game, it worked well for us.
It was almost like that was the right game, maybe not to have the best night shooting, right? You guys could get away with not having such a great night shooting because you were doing so many other things well. And yeah, playing And we didn't shoot it great. We shot it well, win that game by 15, 20 points, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. They defended us at times. They made it hard. They kept going between man and zone, and we were able to get some good looks in the zone. And so they just kept throwing curveballs and trying to keep us off balance. But I thought for the most part we got good looks, and if we shoot it better, maybe it's the score's a little different. But I'm more concerned with getting quality shots. Right guys getting good looks, and I thought the right guys got good looks.
I could only agree with that. And also, I just think that you guys are going to shoot it better and continue to shoot it better as the season goes along. You talked about the zone. I thought you guys handled the changing of the defense incredibly well. One of the beautiful plays, maybe the best play I've seen all season, was the high-low for a dunk.
Mm-hmm.
Was that Key?
Key threw a bounce pass to Jay in the first half.
Yep. Beautiful play. Congratulations on a good win. Any win in the ACC, in the
conference. Especially on the road, you want to sneak some on the road and hold serve at home. So, yeah, a road win's big.
As my man Dougie said, that's a tough trip, too. In the snow, the guys are a little tired. It was a long day. So, good win, great win. All right, what is happening for tomorrow's game? Coronavirus has struck again.
We're playing. We got a few staff members that are contact tracing, myself included. So I won't be on the bench for this game tomorrow. But then, hopefully we're back at it as soon as they allow us back. But we got the head man coaching, and that's all that it takes. He's the one that calls the timeout, so he's ready to go.
Is there any way of knowing how long you and whoever else is out? And let me back up a little bit. Who's on the bench tomorrow with TB?
Well, it'll be Tony, Johnny, who's our video guy, and Ronnie Weidman, who's our director of ops.
And so TJ?
We're a little shorthanded. Yeah, I don't know Graham's exact responsibility on game day, but we're somewhat shorthanded when it comes to staff. But we've been doing our fair share of video watching and inputting that from that regard.
So what's your role right now? Are you able to talk to guys through Zoom, through phone?
So I talk to Tone. We talk as a staff and watch practice and kind of give input from what I've seen at practice, and it's really somewhat business as usual, other than just not being there.
Right. All right. Are all players eligible?
Which is hard for me. I like being, I want to be around. I love being on the floor with the guys. So it's been hard, but we gotta do what's right and be safe and make it as safe as possible for everybody.
So one of my guys, whose nephew I actually coached in New York, who's a lawyer in LA, UVA alum, asked me how valuable are assistant coaches, and exactly what are the assistant coaches' roles. Mm-hmm. So I broke down what I thought. How valuable are assistant coaches in your eye and your mind?
Oh, I mean, we're extremely valuable. Tone, it's his program. Obviously, he makes the final call, but being there in practice, being good cop, bad cop, depending on what hat you got to wear, what day. From a game standpoint, I always called the out of bounds unders. Tone didn't have to necessarily worry about what we were going to run on the baseline OBs. The players would look to me. That was one thing that you could take off of his plate. The last, 4 or 5 years now, I've been the baseline OB coach. And then you've got guys who handle the scout who are worried about matchups and who's getting matched to who. And you divvy up responsibilities. And you look for certain things that we deem important. You know, are we getting back in transition? Are we getting on the offensive glass? Those types of things that, you know, different coaches are responsible for, to try to take some of that responsibility off Tone, so he can just focus on game and adjustments and stuff like that. And then obviously if you got the scout, you know, you said this before, before we got on air, but just, you know, who to foul in certain situations, knowing stats and of the opposing team, if it's a close game, you know, that assistant is responsible. If it's his scout, he's responsible for, you know, who to foul, who shoots what, you know, what to look for out of timeouts, what they may run on the side, those types of things. So, you know, it's a disadvantage for sure. But it's, you know, it's the hand we've been dealt, and we're not the first program. I mean, there have been programs all season that have had coaches miss, and even head coaches miss some games because of COVID issues. So, unfortunately, I think this is going to continue to be the case until there's a vaccine for everybody.
Right. I mean, at some point, if hopefully a team doesn't have 3 or 4 or 5 stoppages, because if they do, they may not qualify for the tournament.
Well, that's the issue, you know. Can you make up enough of these postponed games? Is there room in the schedule to fit them in? So you don't want to have this happen. But I mean, things are happening that are just out of our control, and we got to try to control what we can control.
Right. I mean, like, let's take two teams, Gonzaga and Houston, and I think every member of those programs contracted coronavirus already.
So they've got a little bit of an advantage over other programs who haven't. Because if I'm not mistaken, once you get it, you don't test again for like 90 days or whatever it is. So
I think that's what one of the coaches had said. I think it was the Alabama coach, if I'm not mistaken, Nate Oates, who mentioned that a couple of weeks ago when he was highly critical of Krzyzewski, right? He said, yeah, we that's a whole nother conversation. But people can look that up. Is every player available tomorrow?
We're going to be without two.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So are you saying we're going to wait till tomorrow to find out?
Yes.
Okay.
I told you, man, they're Demon Deacons that are listening to this. Who do we play next? They're BC Eagles that are listening to this.
Have who does our who's on our air with us pregame show and halftime show and postgame show has a lot of ties to BC, so he might be telling his guys, make sure you listen to the show, not to steal information, but because he's supportive of you.
No, I know. I don't want to blow up and make folks think that my head's so big that everyone's listening to the Jay Willie Show. That is not it at all. You guys know I'm as humble as they come.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What precautions and what changes, if any, is UVA doing to maybe to keep everyone safe? And are there possible, is there a method to, I mean, it almost seems like there's no foolproof method to stop this.
Yeah, I don't think there is, Mark, to be honest. I think we've done and we'll continue to do what we've been doing all season and what we've done all preseason. And unfortunately, I wish I could tell you how we got it, who got it, where it came from. It's one of those things you just don't know. And I know I can speak for everyone in our bubble. We're following every protocol that there is. And you know, stuff happens.
And it's not really a bubble, it's like a semi bubble, right? Because you still go home to your family, other coaches go home to their family. Maybe some of the people who live locally go home to their families sometimes, right? And kids, families may be exposed. I mean, it seems to me, like, I don't know what's going to happen with March Madness, right? It was announced that everything's going to be in Indianapolis. And what happens if someone from one team contracts it? Are they disqualified? And what happens if they give it to the opposing team and they have to do contract tracing? Like, this could be a headache unless you have a true bubble.
Yeah, I don't pretend to know or have all the answers. The NBA showed how it could work, but that's a ton of money, and that's people being in a true bubble for an extended amount of time. And I don't know how it will work. They're going to try. My only thing is, in order for it to work, I think at some point you're going to have to vaccinate folks, and that'd be the only way possible, and maybe push the tournament back. But again, that is my novice expertise talking. I don't pretend to have the answers. I don't get paid enough.
Well, I'm sorry you can't be on the floor tomorrow. Will you have a role? Will you be part of a pregame or halftime Zoom?
No, I don't think any of that's allowed. So no, I'll be tuned into the ACC network.
All right. Well, we're going to talk offline after the show and try to get you to come on our pregame show and our halftime show if you get bored and don't have anything else to do and feel like you need to contribute.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. At 9 o'clock start though tomorrow, right? Isn't that right?
Yep. Late 9 o'clock start. Yep. The Locker Room Access pregame show starting at 8:30. So.
All right.
Yep. All right.
Plugging. That's a plug. I got you.
Absolutely. the plan for Wake.
Yeah, I you know, and Wake's been in somewhat of a pause. They were in a pause. They're coming out recently. So they haven't played in a while, but prior to their pause, they're creating a ton of turnovers, a lot of pressure. We're going to have to be good, sound with the ball, as Coach Bennett likes to say, and you know, not turn it over and try to get good shots. They're going to try to take us out of what we do. So I think there are going to be times where you're going to have to make plays off the bounce and you know, make good decisions. They really get after the glass, so we're going to have to keep them off the offensive glass and rebound at a high level. And Coach Forbes is new to the league, but you know, he's a Bruce Pearl disciple, and you know, you can anticipate a lot of pressure, a lot of guys flying around, and some athleticism on the floor, and we're going to have to handle that.
Yep, they have not been very successful so far. They barely escaped beating a D2 team. Georgia Tech gave them the business the other night, but they're just starting out. So my guess is they're just going to continue to prove, and we know.
They're going to play hard. One thing I know, his teams have always played hard wherever he's been as an assistant or head coach. And listen, Georgia Tech's a good team. I mean, Georgia Tech's playing good ball. So by no means do I look at that as them not being ready or not wanting to come in here and kick our butt. Georgia Tech's pretty daggone good.
They are. And they're led by they got a couple of new guys, and well, Jose Alvarado's been there forever.
They got good guard play, and their big man's pretty good. So
yeah. Wake Forest 3-1, and they're gonna, you know, no one's gonna lie down. No one's gonna say we're coming just so you can beat our pants, right?
Right.
They're gonna be ready to play, and as I said, they're gonna just get better and better as they go along. Can you tell us what the plan is? I know Wake Forest is listening. They've scouted you anyway, right? So do you know what offense you're going to be running tomorrow?
Our thing will always be this, Mark. Rebound the ball defensively, limit them to one shot, get back in transition, limit transition opportunities. And then on offense, run whatever it is we're running and try to get quality shots. And you know, they may try to take us out of some of our sets and try to keep the ball on one side of the floor, and we're gonna have to adjust accordingly and be ready to make plays. And you know, at times they may do a little bit of switching. We gotta be able to handle that. But our formula is very simple. And it's pretty much that every game.
Last week, you told us there would be some new wrinkles.
Yeah, there ain't a whole lot of new wrinkles.
Okay.
You'll see what we've done all season. You'll see a little bit of what we've done all year.
All right. Okay. We might get a little mix. Can you give us a little tip as who the starting lineup might be? Do you see any, do you anticipate a change, or you think you're going to go with the same crew?
You're going to have to wait and see. You got to wait till 9 o'clock when we tip that ball up on the ACC network.
You know, the tweets come out like 8:45 or 8:50, who the starting lineup is tomorrow night.
So 8:45, 8:50.
I'm expecting a text of the name of the offense.
Wahoo Nation will know.
I'm expecting a text later on with the name of the offense.
All right.
We got some questions from the audience.
Uh-oh. Right? I always get nervous when we go here.
You shouldn't be. You do a great job at answering questions.
Hey, before we go, though, I just want everybody to recognize
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Let's finish with basketball before we get to football.
Okay.
All right.
You got to give me the order of the show, Mark.
No, we keep you on your toes here.
I see.
Because you're so natural, it doesn't matter.
Where are we?
All right. First question. Can you read it? Can you see it?
Yeah.
All right. With the triangle three-man motion offense that you're keeping a secret name of us from us, seemingly predicated on giving Sam Hauser and Jay's Huff more touches and advantageous positions on the floor, similar to how it gave guys like DeAndre Hunter looks in the past, how often do you expect this set to be used for the remainder of the season? That's a very similar question to what I asked.
It's very similar to what you asked. Yep.
Brogdon fan page is a smart dude. I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job.
Who is that?
He runs the Brogdon fan page.
Okay. You'll see a little bit of the motion, you know, our blocker mover. You'll see a little bit of everything. Zach.
That's Boy Wonder.
Okay.
Zach Carey's Boy Wonder. He breaks down the offense and does articles on it. And sometimes we do a podcast on it. How many times you guys run blocker mover? How many times you guys run the triangle offense? How many times you guys run pick and rolls?
Okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's good with what he's doing.
He's 17 years old.
Oh wow.
Yeah. He's in high school and coming to UVA next year as a first year. So we wish him congratulations.
Well, congrats on that.
Yeah. All right. I know you were tired of this question.
Yeah.
About Cody. Yeah.
So I think Tony addressed this in his show last night. And I'll defer to Tone on that. At least I can say it's a non-COVID medical issue. And we'll leave it at that.
Okay. That's from Ben Koresh.
Okay.
Who's another loyal listener. We appreciate every question he always asks. All right. From Who's the Champ? Another one guy asked, are we going to be posting Kihei in the paint more often since it worked so well the last game? Maybe time for him to develop a Kareem skyhook.
Hey, so it's funny, Who's the Champ? I tease Kihei about the sky hook and the up and unders when he's working on those post-ups down there. Yeah, I think each game will be different. There'll be opportunities that present themselves for him to post. Obviously, we're not going to make a living on him posting 6'5 and 6'6 dudes, but if there's opportunities where he can get in there and make plays, yeah. I don't know so much about the hook, the Kareem hook. He'll have to figure how to get a shot off regardless of you know, because he's down in there oversized, so he's pretty clever
and such an intense player. Love him. All right, from my man Dan Epstein, Hey, all, non-basketball question for the next Jay Willie show. I've seen some great crab picking pictures on his Twitter feed. What's your recommendation of the best crab places near Charlottesville? Well,
yeah, so Dan, I don't know if there are many near Charlottesville, to be honest with you. Most of the time, if I'm tweeting anything about crabs, I'm up in DC with my wife and her family. That's where she's from. And we spend a lot of time in that area. So the Southwest Waterfront, the wharf, is where we get our crabs. And you gotta get there early. There is a line. So you gotta, it's best to take two people, one buy the crabs, because you want them live, and then the other stand in line to where you take your live crabs to go get them steamed. And so it's a two-person operation in the Southwest Waterfront in DC.
We might have to take a trip down there as a group. All right, this is from my man and partner, Dougie Fresh. Does this year's team taking away COVID, if that's possible, remind you of any teams you've coached in the past?
No, this team's uniquely different, to be honest, from past teams. Every team's a little different, to be honest. And, you know, I think we've got, we're still trying to find our way defensively, which is a big difference from a lot of the teams we've had. But I think we got a ton of talent and skill on offense. And I'm excited to see when they put all of that together, how we look offensively. I think we've shown glimpses and flashes. I just want to see more.
Got you back on.
Was that me?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Because YB showed up.
And then he disappeared. We're still live.
We are still live, folks. Thanks for being patient and waiting. Hey, look,
some technical difficulty. I apologize.
No worries. All right. So Dougie was asking a question about, does this team remind you of any other team?
Yeah, and I think we answered that one. Where were we? We want another one, Mark.
Okay, so we finished that one. This is from Liberty Who. To my eye, teams are having more success driving baseline against the pack line this year. Is this a tactical shift away from denying the baseline, an intentional emphasis to allow the new guys to get up to speed and order in other areas of defense? Or is it still being emphasized with execution being the issue?
Hey, listen, whoever that is that asked that question, I can't see. I got to take my glass. Liberty Who? Liberty Yep. You Who?
Liberty Who, yep. Liberty You Who.
They must study the pack. They got to be a coach. It is not what we want to do. We don't want to give up those outside drives. It has been a frustrating thing as a coach, and me in particular, who defense is my baby. So it is something that we're continuing to work on, and we have to get better at. But ideally, no, we do not want those outside drives.
All right, good question, Liberty Yoo-Hoo. Another one from Zach Carey, who runs the Brogdon fan page. What was the reasoning for having the guy, Kihei called him the MIG, who was two passes away in the middle of the paint when the opposing offense runs a ball screen, and how effective do you think it was? Is it a long-term solution for this team's occasionally iffy ball screen defense? Thanks, Zach Carey.
God, these people are studying us. I think we have to be better in our ball screen coverage, and we're working. We're working several different options in regards to how we defend ball screens, and so the point of the ball screen is a priority. How we defend that, but then also help. MIG is a term. I think the NBA uses it. It's the most important guy. So we're trying to figure out different ways to ball screen coverage. But God, Kihei,
is giving away all of our stuff. I don't know if that's a secret. I don't know if that's a secret though, because that's not the first time I've heard that term MIG within defensive coverages. So
to your estimation, by the way, first of all, the UVA fan base is very astute.
No doubt. No doubt. You have to be. You know, you have to be. We're not a top-notch institution for nothing.
Better believe it. Yeah. How many different ways, to your recollection or to your evaluation, can you defend the pick and roll?
Well, obviously you can blitz a ball screen. You can switch a ball screen.
When you say blitz, can you explain what that means in case people don't know?
You can ice a ball screen.
What does ice and blitz mean? Can you explain that?
So blitzing is, or hedging, for you basketball aficionados, it's where you really jump out and extend on the guy who's setting the ball screen. So essentially there's two guys guarding the ball and you make it difficult for the ball to get across the floor or wherever it is on the floor. Icing is essentially keeping the ball on the side and forcing the baseline. So any kind of ball screen on the side, you would jump on the high side and force the ball to the baseline. Not that we do all of these things, we do some of these things, but again, they're probably blitzing, icing, switching, and then just leveling are the four ways to guard any type of ball screen.
Okay, thank you for that. All right, I think that's it for our questions. I look like T-Dubs may have had another one up, maybe not. So we're gonna move on. Let's talk about what you're wearing right now.
I'm gonna try to get my computer back online, but I'm on my phone. What do you wanna talk about? You wanna talk about my Steelers? I can talk about them all day. Steelers. We're in the playoffs.
How many L's?
Huh?
How many L's in the last four or five games have you guys taken?
Ho. We beat the Colts. Heck of a second half. Come back, we beat the Colts. The Browns barely escape. We don't play Ben. We're resting guys. We missed a two-point conversion that was very questionable. I thought there was a hold on Claypool that the ref didn't call. Could have easily called. Maybe you get a chance to run another two-point conversion. They beat us by two in a game that they had to absolutely win. And they come to us this week, first round of the playoffs. I like where we're sitting right now. Ben's rested. Some of our other key players are rested. Unfortunately, though, Joe Hayden is out. Our good corner, he's out. But the Browns got, Browns head coach not going to coach, and they're going to miss two players, I think, because of COVID. So I like where we sit. And for all of those Cleveland fans that tweeted at me, text me, Facebook me, I want that same energy next week this time. Catherine Palmer, Brad Gaskell, I'm calling you out.
How is Catherine Palmer?
KP's doing well. KP, for folks that don't know, KP was our administrative assistant for men's basketball. She's now the ops at Charlotte for Ron Sanchez.
She's incredible.
She's wonderful.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she's a Cleveland Brown fan, so we're not speaking this week.
How many times did Cleveland practice last week?
I don't know. They missed some practices. They're going to miss some this week. You know, we'll be fine. We'll be ready.
Okay.
They haven't won a playoff game since 1994 or 95 or 91 or whenever the last time they won a playoff game. I'm not worried.
How do the Steelers do for the rest of the playoffs? What's your prediction?
Let's just see how we play this first week first. Let me get through week one. Hopefully we get a win and then I can reassess.
Okay. That's fair.
There's some good teams playing right now. The Ravens are playing good ball. Buffalo's playing good ball. And then obviously everything goes through Kansas City in the AFCs. So.
All right. Have you been following your former players?
Yeah, Brogdon had a good game. He hit a game winner the other night. DeAndre's balling. He's putting up good numbers. I want to say Kyle Guy got his career high last night.
I'm not sure if it was career high, but he had 5 assists. I was watching him play last night.
Yeah, it was. I think it was his career NBA high. I should qualify that. But, yeah, it was I want to say 7 or 9 points and some assists. He's played well.
He did. And always with a smile on his face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big smile. Dre is really killing it. I was watching him. I looked up stats. I think he's the most efficient player on the team.
Well, I just saw something before we came on where he is like top 10 in the league in 3-point field goal percentage.
Yep.
Yeah. He's playing well, and Joey Buckets has played well some games. They're an enigma to me because they're losing games. I didn't anticipate them losing this early in the year.
The Nets.
Yeah, yeah.
They've lost 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that.
And now KD's out for a little while.
Right.
Right. But you know, they lost their one of their best players to an ACL tear, too. Spencer Dinwiddie. All right. Okay. And here's the tweet from Dre is, dude is averaging 15.9, almost 16 points a game, almost 7 rebounds a game on 53% shooting and 53% shooting from three. I'm sorry, from the field and guarding the heck out of different players, you know, various different types of players. So from point guards, and Kyrie may be the most skilled player in the league, right? Julius Randle, who's just a big dude.
I mean, the other night, I think they played Brooklyn, and he was going back and forth with KD in that game.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they beat up on the Knicks last night. So I'm always going to root for Dre. Love to see that. All right, we've got another someone else who may look somewhat familiar to you.
Uh-oh. Where?
You recognize that?
Hold on, I can't.
I'm sure you've seen that.
Yeah, that's my son. That's my oldest. God, I couldn't do that in college. He's an 8th grader, windmiller. How about that?
I heard so about it today.
They sent that to me, Mark. You know, Grant's an assistant. Grant. So Kersey is the assistant there at the high school. And he sent that to me. I said, Grant, that's fine and dandy. And this is the coach in me. But if he can't dribble pass and shoot, none of that means a hill of beans. So you better be teaching him how to dribble pass and shoot.
Well, you know what? I imagine he had a good teacher his whole life so far.
Yeah, he doesn't listen though. He thinks he knows, you know, dad, they don't listen to dad. You know that. they listen to everybody but dad. So, you know,
I don't believe that. And I've seen you guys in action.
I was happy for him. He's been telling me he can dunk, and I've refuted every time. I said, you got to show me evidence. But that was pretty impressive.
For an 8th grader?
He did that. He actually did that off of a hop into a windmill. You know, most people 1-2 step. He like hopped and then did it.
Yep.
I said to him, why'd you do that? He said, well, because I told the guys I'm going to hop and windmill. I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, maybe if you're talking to him, like, what are you doing? Maybe that's why he doesn't listen to you. Inside track on recruiting him? Are you allowed to talk about 8th graders that are your family members?
I can talk about my son.
Okay.
I'm not coaching him, though.
Okay, so what are you going to do? Not show up to the games if he decides to come to UVA?
I won't coach him. No, if he comes here and Tone's still coaching, God bless you, Tony. But I am not coaching Austin.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
So for the people that didn't listen to the show in the beginning of the season of the Jay Willie show, we had the issue with Cam with homeschooling, right? And now you're saying that big boy that Austin doesn't listen to you on the court?
He doesn't listen to me on the court. He thinks that I'm just making stuff up. And I keep telling him I've been coaching now 20 years and I played in the ACC and I was a decent player. I said, you just have to trust me.
I find that hard to believe. What doesn't he believe that you're telling him you are the associate head coach of the defending national champions? He's got to have some respect.
Mark, you would think.
Give me an example of what you've said to him that he's saying, I'm not listening to you.
I always tell him he plays too upright and he's got to learn to play lower and bend his knees. He's a little stiff, right? And he's a good athlete. He gets it from his mom. He doesn't get it from me. So it's all his mom's genetics. But I keep telling him to play lower, dribble lower, get into your shot. So we're in the gym and I'm getting frustrated because he's not getting lower. Coach Vandross comes over. He said, Jay, let me talk to him. And so he tells him the exact same thing that I tell him. And he, for the next 5 minutes of shooting, he commits to squat down, bend his knees, play lower, do everything lower. And I just walked through. I put my hands up and I just walked out of the gym. But at least he listened to Coach Vandross.
Well, it sounds like he's got some great coaches surrounding him. So it sounds like he's just going to continue to improve. So kudos to you. That's an impressive dunk for an eighth grader. For anybody, and especially for an eighth grader. Looking forward to watching his development over the course of the next few years.
That was 10 feet, right?
Yep. You see this sweatshirt?
Yeah, I see that one.
Can you tell that it's camo on the camera?
I can't, no.
Yeah. I love this sweatshirt. Once again, T-Dubs.
Locker room access. Get your gear.
That was pretty good, Jay Wills.
Get your gear. And by the way, my sister's waiting on that mask.
I'm not giving mine up. But just for people that didn't see the show last week.
Oh.
YB. Nice. You see this?
Nice.
Yep.
My sister is waiting on her. She's like, please tell them. And I think T-Dubs is taking care of her. So thank you, T-Dubs.
Yeah, T-Dubs always comes through. Sometimes the mail takes a little while, especially coming.
Goes good with the bug. Can you imagine pulling the mask down and sipping out this?
That's crazy. I still get a kick out of seeing that logo.
This thing must hold at least 20 ounces. I'm testing it right now. FYI.
I'm sure there's green tea in there with no honey and sugar.
20 ounces, baby, you know.
All right, Jay Wills, good luck tomorrow in the game. Good luck tomorrow being easy and being patient. That you can't be on the sideline. Sorry to hear about that. Wishing you all the best. Wishing a speedy few negative tests so you can be back. Any chance you'll be back for Saturday or you don't know yet?
I don't know. I think we're waiting to see what the protocol is moving forward. So I'm fingers crossed.
All right. So tomorrow, the majority of the audience will find out about the two players. Unfortunately, who won't be able to be in attendance. We know the coach won't be there. Best of luck. And hopefully Saturday, crossing fingers for you that you can get there Saturday. And I'm going to root for your Steelers on Sunday too.
I appreciate that. We need all the help we can get, Mark.
I'm just rooting for them because I want you to be in a good mood for Tuesday. I care less if they win or not. Actually, I want you to be in a good mood for your family.
I most of the time get over it. I'll be in a good mood. As long as it's a good game, I don't want to go and lay an egg. As long as it's a good game, and if they beat us, hey, look, I've been a Baker Mayfield fan since he was in college. I've always liked the kid. I think he plays with a ton of swag. So if they beat us and we play good ball, I'll tip my hat. But if we lay an egg, I'll be pissed for an entire week.
All right. Well, we're rooting for them to do well because we don't want you to be upset. All right, YB. Once again, YB Wednesdays, tomorrow night, what time?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
I wish y'all could see this t-shirt. I don't think I'm close enough.
No, we can see it. YBs.
For the YBs. I got a crew. we called DJ YB and the YBs. You see him forming. This is all 18 of them right here.
I like
there
that.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to cop one of those.
Twitch.tv/DJYB. There you go. I think all of that is on there. I can't see it, but y'all.
YB, hopefully people will tune in from, you said 6?
7 o'clock, seven to 9.
Sorry, from 7 to 8:30, and then watch our pregame show at 8:30.
Oh, okay, yeah, of course.
And then, all right, folks, thanks again for joining us. Jay Wills, another great show, appreciate you. YB.
Appreciate you, guys. Hey, listen, Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year, all best right, in 21.
Hey, Jay. Oh, can't see. Yeah, you ain't gonna see it because we got the game tomorrow, but I got a lot of pictures on my stream. I've updated stuff, man. I've got videos. I got celebration videos. I got pictures of you, me, the team. All of that's gonna be flowing tomorrow.
We play at 9. We play at 9. Why? So I'll be.
I know that's what I'm saying. You ain't gonna be there, but you'll catch it on the next one.
7-8:30. He'll be tuned in, YB.
I'll catch you.
He'll be tuned in from 7-8:30 because he'll be on our pregame show at 8:30. So.
All right, bet that. Mark, I got you some kung fu action in there too, some karate action. You said music go good with the old.
Well, that's what it was when we were growing up, right?
Huh?
That's what it was when we were growing up.
Yeah, that's where Wu-Tang was born.
They knew martial arts.
If it wasn't for that, it would be no Wu-Tang Clan.
That's very true.
100%. That's right.
That's very true.
I think I got a flick of tying a little basketball. Bruce Lee versus Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
When he put the big footprint on his chest.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a great scene. No, yes, Meth sir. Man. No ODB. Rest in peace.
Yep.
Right? All right. YB, take us away. Thanks for joining us, bro. We always appreciate you.
All right.